This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Thursday, October 24, 2024. The Memorial of St. Raphael the Archangel by Father William Doc Holliday.
For it is a good thing to hide a secret of a king, but honorable to reveal and confess the works of God. Prayer is good with fasting and alms, more to be laid up as treasure than gold. For alms delivereth from death, and the same is that which purgeth away sins and maketh to find mercy and life everlasting. But they that commit sin and iniquity are enemies of their own soul. I discover then the truth unto you, and I will not hide the secret from you. When thou didst pray with tears, and didst bury the dead, and didst leave thy dinner, and hide the dead by day in thy house, and bury them by night, I offered thy prayer to the Lord. And because thou wast acceptable to God, it was necessary the temptation should prove thee. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today on the memorial of St. Raphael the Archangel, the reality of angels for us, I mean, it is so inescapable. If anybody would take the pains to ever read any portion of Scripture, you can't read a little bit without reading about angels. You see in the Old Testament a story that, get into this in a second, it is a thumbnail sketch of our very lives, every aspect of our lives. And who is the character that is basically an anchor point for us in this world? Who fixes things? An angel. The New Testament. It's kind of interesting that the story can kind of elude people because you can get kind of caught up on the whole healing thing that's going on in the pool of Bethsaida. And you look at, but there's a very explicit statement made. It's not that, and the waters moves as if an angel came down from heaven and did this, that, or the other thing. It specifically, explicitly says, an angel came down from heaven and moved the water. I mean, it's the gospel of our Lord. This is the Holy Spirit letting, you know, this is the thing. There's an angel came from heaven in that particular place at that particular time and moved waters to indicate that if a person got in there, they could be first, then they were healed. Okay, so the angels, their activity, to deny it is to deny Scripture. That's all there is to it, to deny the action of angels. But when you look at this whole, the story of Tobias, when we have, you know, again, Raphael being the center point of this whole thing, you look at that, you know, what's going on here is a thumbnail sketch of our life. Everything that goes on in our lives is going on with Tobias. You look at this and you see the elder Tobias. In the Old Testament, is, or particularly in the Vulgate, is Tobias and his son Tobias. Why that's so unusual? Why in the New Testament you have to have Tobias and Tobit? I have the same name as my father. You can always tell the difference, but I digress. In Tobias the Elder, you see a man who is trying to live a faithful life among the unfaithful. That's us. You try to live a life of faith in this world, and it is extremely difficult to do. Everybody gets that. But we see it here. It's nothing new. When we're struggling with it, we're presented that it's always a struggle for the people of faith to try to live a faithful life among pagans. You have to, as Tobias did when he's burying the dead, for instance, he's got to sneak around. He's got to do it by night. They'll execute him. So, you know, this is rough. So it's not near that rough for us. And so when we get stories like this, to put us on notice that, yeah, don't whine about what's going on with you, but live your life of faith, no matter what the consequences may be, because it will be rewarded. But it's just not that. You're living a faithful life among the unfaithful. you see people who deal with the vicissitudes of life, those things that get put on us that we don't want. When Tobias the Elder is struck blind, things happen. He's struck blind. You've got the illness thing going on. So we're always struggling with these things. And we know later on that there is a purpose behind these. You even see in the lives of family issues. After he's blind, his wife's trying to do the right thing. She's going to her, and you know, somebody gives her a little goat. She brings it home. And what happens? Tobias accuses her of stealing the goat. They're a little domestic squabble here. I mean, we even have that. So you, even relational stuff is put out here. And then you know, the dealing with death for poor Sarah, her poor husband's trying to get married. You know, they're all struck dead one after another. So even that is something that the angel can overcome for us. So, you know, when we look at this, there is nothing in this, in the book of Tobias, where you don't understand that there is some aspect that is going to resonate sometime in your life. You can either read it and go, oh yeah, I remember when that happened, or it gives you a heads up on this stuff is going to happen. You're going to be dealing with all of these things in one way or another, all of them. So it shouldn't surprise us. You know, this is what the scriptures do. It gives us a heads up. We are in a struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Every one of those things is covered explicitly, including, and I mean literally, the devil. Okay, because Satan and his demons are allowed to be responsible by God for some of the things that happen in our lives. It was just that Job thing. Behold, my son. Well, if they have at it for a little while, because we need to be tested. That is what this is all about. And because that was acceptable to God, it was necessary. The temptation should prove thee. It's necessary. You are going to be confronted with things in life that you are not going to want to deal with, and it's a test. It's a test. That is not a matter of, it is necessary. Thus saith the Lord, it is necessary for you to be tested if you are found acceptable to God. That is explicit. We need to embrace that. It makes things so much easier to understand that what I'm going through, I don't get it. It's ugly. It hurts. Whatever. I mean, physically, emotionally, whatever. And or it may be horrendous. It may be seemingly overwhelming. If you're found acceptable, it is necessary that you put up, because that is where you share your faith. And it's not just that, you know, because there's a lot of places in scripture where you can point to, well, here's an example of that. Here's an example. We actually, in Tobias, we get an explanation. We actually get an explanation as to why these things can be happening. One of them, you know, a lot of those things up there, they have to do with our own sin. We like to look at Tobias, particularly the sin. He's a holy guy. He's going out and burying the dead. He's, you know, he's getting up from, he's not even eating his meals. And it's another thing you have to, in the Jewish mindset, you're burying the dead, you're unclean for a little while. So you've got to do all these ritual washings and all this kind of stuff like that. He's a very, very pious guy, but he's also going to accuse his wife of stealing when she's trying to do the right thing and support the family because he's blind now. And so it shows us that as faithful as you may be, you're going to falter. You know, that whole thing, you know, that acronym I'll throw it out on occasion when I say hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. You got any of those things going on, you are prime for sin. If you got one of them going on, you got to be very careful. If you got more than one of them, which generally speaking, if you got one going on, it's going to kind of lend itself to another. You got to really be careful with things like that. We've got to understand that as faithful as we may be, we are going to be tested. Your patience is going to be tested. Your meekness is going to be tested. Your long suffering is going to be tested. This is just the reality thing. We need to understand that. And if we happen to sin during these times, which we are very prone to do, it is an enemy of our souls to do this. If it's necessary that we be proved by these trials, if we're faced with these trials, and then we fall into some type of a sin or some type of an accusation, then that's to the detriment of our souls. So this is where the testing process comes in. So what do we do about this? You know, what do we have to do? We approach our lives as we deal with things like that through, what do we do? Pray. I say quite frequently, and I want people to know this, sometimes prayer is not enough. Sometimes prayer is not enough. I usually throw out the Gospels when our Lord said, you know, for instance, the demons, why couldn't we cast out those kind only come out by prayer and fasting. We get this nutshell thing about prayer in the book of Tobias. Prayer is good. There you go. Period? No. Prayer is good. With fasting and almsgiving. With fasting and almsgiving. The alms thing, that's usually like the third on our list. I pray a lot, and I know I gotta fast sometimes, so I pray and I fast. And the almsgiving giving alms is something ancillary to that. It's something that's off by itself. No, almsgiving is part of prayer like fasting is. And if you fast and give alms with your prayers, it makes it tremendously more amplified. Okay, but this alms thing is huge. It says that we indeed pray, fast, and give alms. That's a good thing. But then it goes on to tell us, for alms, just alms, for alms delivereth from death, and the same is that which purgeth away sins and maketh to find mercy and life everlasting. In that verse, what it talks about alms, if you give alms, it doesn't, you know, there's nowhere that, you know, yeah, prayer, we can ask for forgiveness of sins and everything, God forget. It says specifically here, you give alms, that act in and of itself is an expiation for sins. It's an expiation for sins. It purges away sins, as it says. It delivereth from death. Talk about physical death? No, talking about spiritual death. You do this thing, it's going to pull you away from the possibility of spiritual death. And it maketh to find mercy. You are more apt to receive God's mercy if you give alms unto life everlasting. Alms is huge. Absolutely huge. Just in and by itself. In that one verse, we hear all of those things that alms does. So consider that. We'll put that one in the toolbox. Out of all those three things, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, what's the one that generally, when we're confronted with having to do it, what's the one that kind of sticks most in our craw? Almsgiving. That's just a fact. We'll pray all day long. That's fine. We'll go to this meeting. We'll pray with these people. We're part of a prayer chain, whatever. We pray. We're good with praying. Fasting? Yeah. Pretty good. You delve into your faith. You're fasting. You're good. Like, alms, yeah. Alms. There's always something. It's always, I'll tell on myself. You know, you think, can you give to this? It's like, you know, didn't I just give to something? Not too long? There's this grudging aspect. That's our human nature. And what our Lord is trying to tell us this. He's trying, you know, and he doesn't do it by threatening, you need to give alms or bad things are going to happen. No, he lists all the glorious things that happen when we give alms. So, I mean, this is something we really need to take into consideration. This is huge. And so, you want your prayers to be very efficacious? Amplify them with fasting. That's a really good thing. From what this says, you really want to jack them up? Fasting and almsgiving. And if you're going to make a decision between the two, I'd probably go with the almsgiving on this one. That is just what this is what we're taught. So, you know, when you look at this, it really gives us this opportunity to talk about engagement, to talk about, you know, understanding the what, these things that go on in our life, the whys. I mean, we like to know specifically why. Why am I doing that? But I think it's better just to have the general understanding, to sit back, go, I don't get this, but you need to think, not just dealing with it, accepting it, you know, submitting to it, but to understand that it is necessary, that these things are necessary for our salvation, you know, to prove ourselves to God. You know, again, this is one of the prime places you can go. What I'm always saying, when you hear one of your friends walk around, I don't have to prove anything to God. It's necessary that if you are acceptable to God, that you will be proved by temptation. Necessary. So, you know, I don't have to, that's not true. That's a lie. Bottom line. So, when we look at these, all these efforts that we commit for our faith, all these things we do in order to attain heaven, which we should, that watchful vigilance of which I spoke last evening, all of our efforts of faith, we have to understand at the end of the day, back to the whole angel thing, because this is what this is about. We can struggle, we can try, but to understand that what we do is presented to God by the holy angels, because this is what this is all about. You know, we just talk about a bunch of things that we learn about our situations and ourselves and what we can do about it. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, and I, Raphael, have lifted up what you've done before God. Your prayers are lifted up by the God. And you go, well, I wish Raphael would show up and lift my prayer. You have a guardian angel. You know, the way the angels communicate to each other, the choirs, they communicate to each other, the lowers communicate to the higher. So your guardian angel has a direct channel to one of the seven who stand before God, Raphael being one of them. Okay, could you read that part? Little footnote on that. I am Raphael, one of the seven that stand before. There are a whole lot more angels than seven. He doesn't mean that there are only a limited number of angels before God, but he's one of the very special. And in God's mercy and grace, he let him come down here and manifest himself to teach not just Tobias these things, but us. He's teaching us about our situation. He's teaching us about ourselves. He's teaching us that we will slip, but he's also teaching us what we can do about it. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. These things. And at the end of the day, I'm trying, but I'm slipping. To know that our guardian angels, including the Archangel Raphael, are lifting our prayers up before God. This is what they do. This is that wonderful order of which we speak. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.